AA degree or vocational certifications in pre-med, technology, culinary, cosmetology, and more. Synergy Magnet is a proud partner of WCNO. Synergy School of Tomorrow accepts all state scholarships. For more information, check out synergymagnet.com or call 772-801-5522.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it is written for you. Believe in His promises, God can.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I'm going to ask that you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. A few weeks ago, I shared with you that God had put on my heart that every one of us need to be literate in the things of the Holy Spirit. We need to not only know that there is a Father and a Son and the Holy Spirit, but we need to understand what Jesus said and what the Word of God says. And the church needs to be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And every one of us need to have the fullness of that operative work of God within our own lives. I mentioned when, a few weeks ago at that time, that the Lord had put on my heart that I believe that every one of us should be able to share with someone else what the Word of God says. And be able to pray with anyone who is hungry for more of the life of God, which is His Holy Spirit that is with us. If you remember in the days as Jesus was on the earth, the temple was full of sacrifices. They had sacrifices. They have had all kinds of ceremonies. They had all kinds of celebrations. They had all kinds of traditions. It was a busy place, and people came and they went. And the marketplace, as you know, was filled with merchants. And they were selling their wares. And the money changers were there in the temple courts. But when people came and they went, most of them left the way they came. When Jesus began to minister to the people, something wonderfully different was taking place. People who heard Him and received His words, they experienced God. They questioned, where did you get authority to speak like this? And where did you get authority to do the things you do? Because the God who had been talked about in the temple was now actually doing something in the people as they listened and they received, and tremendous crowds would follow. And of course, today, we probably have come to a level of professionalism in many areas in the church, maybe even more so than in most generations, or maybe all generations. Over this last year, I've had some tell me that they were no longer invited to be a part of choral groups or praise teams because they were a little too old. One mentioned to me they were told, "You do not fit the young, beautiful image that we must have on our worship stage." And I know that those who have found themselves in this, as someone said, they told me, "You know, when I went there, there were years I spent in nightclubs, and I went to many concerts, and now when I go to church, oftentimes it's the same kind of an atmosphere." The gathering of God's people is not to be a worldly or a human showplace. It's to be a gathering to receive God's word and His presence and to be changed by His eternal truth and His Holy Spirit. I want to start in 1 Corinthians 14 this morning with three verses out of this chapter. And don't take off when you hear these three verses, because I want to just kind of set the intro with these, and I want you to think about this for a moment, then we're going to move over into Acts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 5, and I now have the NIV that I'm looking at this morning. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. "I would like," the Apostle Paul's writing, "I would like every one of you to speak in tongues." Does your translation say something like that? And then it should go on to say something like this: "However," or "but, I would rather have you prophesy." Now, I'm not going to stop for the whole morning on this verse or on this chapter, because this is just kind of to get us started this morning. But Paul addresses the aspect of one of the movements and the workings of the Holy Spirit through His people. It certainly is not what the fullness of the Holy Spirit is about. But Paul is speaking about what is spoken through our mouths. And he does say that, "I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy." Now, in this book, and we will, God willing, come back to 1 Corinthians 14 and study this with some detail, but it clarifies the point that if a message is given in a heavenly language and then there is an interpretation, that once it's interpreted, now you have prophecy, which prophecy becomes a word that clearly declares who Jesus is. Revelation tells us that. That prophecy is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the declaration and the revelation. I want you to look at another verse in chapter 14. I want you to drop down, I believe it's verse 26. "What shall we say, brothers, sisters?" I'm including you gals. Of course, you're included in the brothers as well. "What shall we say then when we come together," when you come together? This is talking about a gathering of believers. "When you come together, everyone has a hymn." God put songs in our hearts. You may say, "I don't have a voice for public exposure. My voice is joyful before the Lord, but it may not be joyful for somebody else." But everyone has a hymn. This is the work of the Spirit of God in our life. God stirs up songs and they bring remembrances to us of God's wonderful word and His presence. Or a word of instruction. This would be teaching or corrective or directive. A revelation. Something the Holy Spirit has given. That's revelation. And then a tongue or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. When you read this, it is not talking about professionals performing. It is talking about a God who is in all of His people, who stirs in all of us gifts and workings so that all of us are gifted to share and participate in the gatherings that we have together. I love Wednesday nights when many of you begin to share about your week and about your God reports and your those are praise reports and your prayer requests, and you begin to talk about what the Lord is doing in your life and in your world. And it's powerful, it's inspiring, it's strengthening, it's encouraging. Years ago, back in the 70s, in our city and across the nation, there were gatherings that were called Full Gospel Businessmen's gatherings, meetings. We had them here in our community, in this city. And started in town, I believe, and then ended up moving out. And those days, I believe it was a Holiday Inn that had a large banquet room out on the beach. Today it's a different facility. But my wife and I, we were invited to go to some of these gatherings. And I remember looking around and I realized this is not a place that's made up of one denomination. This is a gathering of people that are here because they're hungry for God. And there were all kinds of leaders from the business community, banking community, medical community, attorneys. There were all kinds of tradesmen. There were all kinds of marketplace people, and all kinds of spiritual leaders were there. When I looked around, I thought, wow, why didn't I come to this before? This must, something important must be getting ready to happen here. And then as the worship took place, and then following the worship, someone got up and they just shared a testimony. And often it was not a pastor. Sometimes it was, or an evangelist, or a missionary. It may have been. But often it was someone that was a business person, or maybe just a common person. Maybe you would say a no-name person, but they would share their story about how God had done something in their life that was powerful and life-changing. All of you have those kinds of stories. This passage in 1 Corinthians just brings that out, that God prepares us to come together to worship. I hear people sometimes say, I'm looking for a church that will meet my needs, that will meet my family's need. Well, there should be needs being met. But if you're already a believer, could I just remind you that you are a part of the solution? It almost sounds like when someone says, I'm trying to find a church that will meet my needs, that you're a needy person. That maybe God hasn't been meeting your needs. That maybe you are not sure how to go to God and have your needs met. And that is not at all the God you serve and I serve. The God that we serve is a God that meets us individually. Incidentally, He's quite personal. He knows everything about us. And the Word says that not only does He see a sparrow fall, but He knows us all by name, and He even keeps a record of how many hairs on our head still exist. I guess I can say that. If anyone, there are some guidelines here. If anyone speaks in a tongue, this is an unknown tongue. Sometimes it was known, sometimes they were unknown. But two or at the most three should speak one at a time. Someone must interpret. There is to be order in the house of God. But the workings of the Holy Spirit are not to be hindered in the public gathering of the church. My wife and I, we were in a large Pentecostal church in Orlando, one of the largest Pentecostal churches in the city. And the pastor got up and said, We will not have any messages in tongues in any of our public services. And then he said this, he said, we're too large of a congregation for that. But in small groups, obviously, we would welcome you to be free in the Spirit. We looked in the bulletin. There was a note in the bulletin. This is a Pentecostal church. A note was in the bulletin. And the note in the bulletin said the same thing. We do not allow any public utterance in public worship services. I turned to my wife and quietly said, did I hear what I just heard? I mean, if there are a lot of churches I could expect maybe to hear that, but not in a church that says, this isn't about us, it's about God. It's not about my program, it's about God's ministry amongst His people, not just to His people, but through His people. This is where the temple became very upset in Jesus' day, because when He came to the temple, it messed up their control. They knew how to do things. They knew what they were going to do. They had done it a long time. And we don't need your help. We can do this by ourselves. It was like a social club. It was like a religious social club where everyone came and they knew exactly what was going to happen. I was with a friend of mine visiting in his church. I said, how do you know when to kneel and when to stand up? He said, oh, well, we do the same thing every week, so we know. I said, you're kidding me. You do the same thing every week? Yeah, it's the same thing every week. He said, so, you know, it's real easy to go to church. You know, we get there, we know exactly what we're going to do because we did the same thing last week. And next week we'll do the same thing again. He said, it's kind of nice because you don't have to use your brain at all. All we have to do, you know, we just come, we kneel, we stand, you know, we listen a little, and you know, and then it's over. It's really short and it doesn't take long. And I thought, how different did Jesus model and minister to people, and was the early church put together? There's another verse I want for us to look at here in chapter 14, and then we're going to move to Acts. This is in verse 39. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy. Again, prophecy is boldly declaring the message of Jesus Christ. Prophecy can be given by a prophet. Prophecy can be current. It can be revelation. It can be teaching, a prophetic word. It can give insight into what is coming. We have a lot of prophets today, a lot of prophetic things being said. And I would just remind you that you guard your heart and you check everything to the Word of God. And that you do not have a personal prophet that's ordering your life. You have the Holy Spirit that the Word of God makes real clear will lead you and guide you into, wait, how much truth? All truth. It even says that you are not lacking the opportunity to have a teacher because the Holy Spirit is able to guide you. This means God in you, the hope of glory, is real, it's relevant, and the Holy Spirit is the one who will minister in your life first and foremost. Now, the other gifts are to equip the church to do the work of the ministry, but the Holy Spirit is the one that brought you to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to continue to guide you until you step into His presence. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy. And then it has these words. And do not forbid speaking in tongues. All right, so I'm going to be a little bold this morning. I grew up in a church that forbid speaking in tongues. I grew up in that kind of a church. They love God. Do you know there was one scripture I never heard taught on the whole time I was growing up? I never heard any minister speak from this passage and say, this morning I'm going to speak from 1 Corinthians 14:39. Be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. And you will find there's many, many churches today all over this city and community and all around the world that forbid speaking in tongues. Now, tongues in and of itself is not the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit enables us to pray with a new tongue. I don't know about you, but I needed a new tongue. I still some days need a new tongue. James says that the tongue is the most unruly thing in your whole body. More so than your eyes, your brain, your ears, your feet, your hands. The tongue can get out of control. James talks about the tongue as being like a spark that can create a huge forest fire. James talks about the tongue as being like the rudder on a ship. And the vessel may be very large, but the rudder is comparatively small, but yet that small rudder is able to govern the direction of that massive ship. And I know we grew up hearing, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt them. But over my years of pastoral care and ministry, I have found out that words have not only hurt a lot of people, words have driven people to insanity, words have driven people to suicide, words have driven people off bridges, words have driven people into insanity. Words are powerful. The Word of God says what you speak with your mouth is either going to bring life or it's going to bring death, one or the other. And so I just started here because I want you to understand, though the majority of this, the rest of this message, is not going to have anything to do really with tongues. I want you to understand that it is a part of the operation of the Holy Spirit. It is an evident of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And I am not ashamed of the prayer gift. I'm not ashamed of the public use of tongues, and I'm not ashamed of the interpretation. It's in the Word of God. And if you're not familiar with it, it's because somebody simply had not experienced all that God had for them, and they left it out. And that's the kind of upbringing I had in my church. Good people, they love God. They simply didn't understand this aspect of the work of God in a gathering with believers. And so they didn't teach on it. They didn't minister it. And so I believe the Father in part is saying to me that since 99% of what you hear is going to leave out some of the things the Holy Spirit does, that somebody ought to talk about the things that people leave out. And so I shall. I shall. Thank you for asking me to do that. Whether you did or you didn't, I'm still going to do that because it's in the Word of God. And, you know, we believe everything that's in the Word of God. And so we see, therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy. Do not forbid speaking in tongues. And verse 40, everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Do any of you think that God will need your help to organize heaven? Do any of you recognize that most pastors organize every aspect of their worship gathering? And today, large churches hire people that do nothing but organize their service. Many pastors have research teams that put their messages together. Many pastors have a book, and the whole year's messages are right in the book. They just open it up and they give it. And some of you grew up with with church like that. And I didn't grow up with that much structure, but I did grow up in a setting where when I traveled with a quartet for years and we were in youth camps and all kinds of places, I remember one day one of the leaders said to me, I'm confident he's with the Lord today, but he said to me one day, Jonathan, if you will just learn how things are done here. Any of you ever worked a job? You ever been on a job where HR had a indoctrination, introduction, you have a big thick book, and this is the way we do things here. This man said to me, Jonathan, if you will learn how we do things here, then there is no limit to how far you can go in leadership amongst all of these 20-some denominations. I remember hearing that and thinking, okay, I've worked at a lumber yard. We have certain policies and procedures, and I understand all of that. But it's something that the owner of the company put together, and if I want to work there, I can choose to do that. But how is this in the church, that if I want to have influence for the Father, that I have to please man and learn how he wants everything done? Now, I'm not saying to be confrontational and not agreeable. I'm just saying that inside of me I was thinking, I'm not sure that I want to do everything that some man is telling me to do. I kind of like to know what God wants me to do and do that. Then I started finding out there were some things that we were told we had to do that I never found in the Word of God. And I said, well, why are you saying that I have to do this? It's not in the Word of God. And you want me to go and preach to somebody else that you have to? I mean, we had legalism coming out your ears. We had it everywhere. I knew all about it. I mean, from no TVs to having to have long sleeves and ladies having to cover their ears and no heels that were too high and, on and on and on. No jewelry, no wedding bands, on and on. It just went on and on and on and said, all this is what you have to do if you're going to serve God. And I'm like, I don't see all of this in the Word of God. I see it in man's manual, but I don't see it in the Word of God. And so I cannot and I will not knowingly put requirements on you that are not clearly the directions of God the Father by His Spirit. You need to see it in the Word of God and say, yes, I see it. Amen. I've had some people tell me, I've been in church my whole life and I've never read the Bible. Like, why is that? Well, they never told us to. They never told us we needed to read the Bible. They told us we should listen and follow. Listen and follow. The Apostle Paul had something to say about that. He said, follow me as I follow Christ.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.